This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Over the past year, arts educators have had to get extremely creative in order to accommodate public health guidelines. And that burden has fallen pretty heavily on teachers of performing arts. The challenge has been even greater for teachers who may not have the space or resources to get creative in their classrooms. And this is something that everyone's been mindful of as we think about a return to school next fall. As public health restrictions are lifted, educators are working hard to prepare. Dr. Kate Fitzpatrick Harnish is an associate professor of music education at the University of Michigan, and we wanted to turn to her to think this through a little bit. Kate, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Do you think that students lose something when their choir and band classes, the activities that are so reliant on collaboration and playing together and rehearsing together, what do they lose when they have to be distanced or totally virtual?
I think that's a wonderful question. And the thing that I'm really proud of when I reflect on what I know of the work that our amazing arts teachers in the state of Michigan have done during this pandemic experience, which, let's face it, was just really a tremendous challenge, obviously, to all of us, but particularly for teachers, right, who are responsible for more than their subject matter. They're responsible for helping our students through that entire experience. When I reflect on what our arts teachers have done during that time, they were certainly faced with that challenge. And the things that they came up with, I'm really unabashedly amazed and proud of the work that our arts educators did in the state of Michigan in meeting that challenge. You're right. I mean, the least impactful way, I think we can all agree, for the arts to be experienced is on paper or as a static entity on a computer screen. I mean, the arts are a part of the lived experience, the human experience. They're a way that human beings come together to create and engage and collaborate and imagine. And so, obviously, there are tremendous challenges there. But one of the lessons I think we have learned is that although perhaps not as ideal as having students in person, we have utilized the technology as a way for human beings to come together. So I think our teachers, you know, obviously in the beginning of the pandemic, it was really getting used to those technological spaces and understanding how to pivot in those ways. You know, what do we do when students show up and they're not turning on their cameras? How do we best navigate those types of things? But I do think that really by the end of this experience, teachers have developed ways to utilize technology to really center that human experience and connections, which again are so important to the arts. So they really, again, are literally our heroes in this process for figuring it out.
Well, and I want to acknowledge that teachers do get something out of a classroom environment that is successful. Do you think teachers lose something when they are not in practice with their music students every day?
Yeah, I think there's nothing more than our teachers want than to be with their kids, with their students. There is something magical that happens, particularly in an arts classroom, when people come together. You know, I'm thinking about like a general music classroom for first graders, you know, and you have kids walk in and you're singing, but you're also dancing and moving and creating and shaking shakers and doing all sorts of those things. And some of that is obviously much trickier on technology. I feel for our music teachers. You know, when I was a practicing teacher in the schools, I never had to face that type of a circumstance and challenge. So there certainly are tremendous challenges that our teachers face in not doing that. And I think especially trying to carry themselves forward through that experience. You know, all of them had their own families at home with them, just like everyone else too, and navigating all of that. So it is, I think, much harder to not have that magic and that joy of actually connecting in person.
Your work focuses on music education in urban schools. What happened in our urban districts this year with performing arts?
Yeah, you know, my work focuses on the experiences of historically marginalized populations in music education, and particularly within those larger urban districts where a lot of the lack of resources is especially noted. And what I look at are some issues of equity related to arts education, which seem to be especially profound in those larger districts. So one of the things that I've really tried to ask people during this pandemic, you know, if everybody listening is reflecting a little bit on their initial pandemic experience, I think all of us at one point or another probably turned to the arts as a way of coping with the pandemic and with what was happening. You know, if I think about, you know, things like art kits sold out really quickly in the pandemic and people generally, I think, started, if they had an instrument in a closet, some people pulled them out. Some people were singing and dancing and learning to knit and crochet. It's intriguing to me to think about the ways that people turn to the arts as a way to center themselves and their humanity during the early days of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And when I talk with people about those experiences, you know, what do the arts mean to you in your life? What generally emerges in those conversations is that the arts are a way to be human. They're a way to feel, they're a way to create, they're a way to be. And it's something that is a universal value to almost all of us. And I think that in the pandemic, that was especially felt and perceived by all of us. Where my concern goes with arts equity is that the universality of that human experience and that human connection to the arts is not translated into the support that we provide for the arts within schools, especially according to the zip code a child grows up in. So if we as human beings, you know, experience the arts as a part of who we are, and sure, there can be conversations about, you know, the arts and connections to cognitive development and all sorts of other things. There are a lot of wonderful studies out there people can look at. But why does every human being deserve access to the arts? In my mind, that's because of that way that the arts encourage us to be human and to grow closer to our humanity. So I grow very concerned when I see that in our really well-resourced school districts and schools, the arts are very supported, not only enthusiastically by people in those schools, but also through funding dollars and through making sure that students have a robust experience and sequential experience in the arts. Mm-hmm. And in many of our other schools, that's not the case. And I think we saw more of that emerge through the pandemic. Our under-resourced students who lacked access to certain technologies and other things, you know, the arts are sometimes the first thing to go. But if I look forward and I think about what lessons I hope we learned about the arts, arts education, and especially arts equity, I really hope that this is going to propel us to make changes that are meaningful in this space. So if we need to actually nurture our humanity, if that's something that we as a society have perhaps realized is even more important through this experience of the pandemic together, if we believe that's important for all of our children to make sure that they have experiences within their schools, our democratic schools are places where our collective values as a society are equitably enacted. And so I do hope that we seize this moment, seize this opportunity post-pandemic to recognize that we need to fully support the arts in schools for all children, regardless of the zip code that they grew up in.
What do you see music educators struggling with as pre-pandemic life starts to grind back into action?
Yeah, I think this transition back, of course, there's this initial, I think, just welcoming of the opportunity to be back in person. I'm back in person at the University of Michigan with my students this week, with some of my graduate students. And again, I think there's just such a beautiful connection that's happening. And we've all been so starved for these opportunities that it's wonderful. But I think there are some other things that we're going to be navigating in arts education and music education moving forward. Again, how do we decide to use technology in the future here? We've learned that there are some things it's not great at helping us with as we engage with students in the arts, but we've learned there are some other ways that it is. Perhaps some ways that using technology can even help us address equity with students who may not have access to certain resources in certain areas. The other part is that I do think having to pivot and learn new ways of doing things through the pandemic has caused arts educators to be very creative in what types of experiences they're providing our students. There are some long-lasting conversations in the arts about whether the arts should be primarily performance-based in schools or whether other creative ways of knowing and understanding the arts perhaps should have more of a place in the curriculum. Right. So we have seen a lot of teachers pivot to addressing creative activities within music and the other arts, such as improvisation and composition, that were easier to do on Zoom, or not even easier, but that teachers really work to learn more about. So I think moving forward, arts and music teachers will be probably navigating that for the betterment of their classrooms. Mm-hmm. I also think that we are trying to figure out as well that music and the arts are not activities in schools that are separated from the whole child and the whole student. And I think through the pandemic, teachers have had a window into their child's home life. And music and the arts are something that everyone experiences within their own world, within their own lives. And I think we're working too, and we'll have to have continuing conversations. How can we connect more with music and the arts that the student already engages in within their own cultural communities, their churches, their places of worship, their communities as a whole? That I think offers some really wonderful opportunities for richness as we move forward. And I also just hope that, you know, moving forward, teachers have certainly been through a lot this year, as have we all. But I think in the beginning of the pandemic, we really appreciated teachers probably more than they've felt lately in our society. I think many of us who have children like I do have noticed our teachers really work miracles with each and every one of our students. And we've probably lost a little of that sense of appreciation as this year has gone on. So I do hope that moving forward, one of the big changes we will have as well is that our society will collectively give teachers their due and work to make sure that they feel appreciated for all of the amazing things that they're doing.
Yeah. What do you think needs to happen in order for music programs to be successful in the coming school year? Choirs, it feels like there just needs to be space for people to rehearse in a manner that seems best to every school district. I don't know what it looks like to have bands rehearsing or musicals rehearsing in this environment. What do you think?
Certainly. I mean, there are a number of safety protocols that were developed this past year. One thing that many music organizations did was to collaborate in funding certain aerosol studies that have been working their way through the peer review process, but that helped us better understand aerosol transmission within choir, band, orchestra settings, and obviously their applications there to musical theater and to drama and dance actually as well. So I think that many teachers, particularly in the state of Michigan, have pivoted to hybrid or in-person models at some point during this last school year. And what we've seen is really successful implementation of many of those safety protocols, such as distancing. We've learned a lot about air filtration in various classrooms, music classrooms and auditoriums. We know that it's really important that schools have quality air filtration systems to help with that. Also use some masking. I mean, there were some interesting things that developed this year with masking of instruments. I mean, you'll see this if you look at various school programs where, like, you know, if you're playing the trumpet, there's a mask for the bell of the trumpet that helps to make sure that that aerosol generation is appropriate to the distancing in the room. So I think that a lot of those lessons have already really been learned. We know better now how to make sure that we are doing these activities safely. Hopefully the pandemic will continue to progress in such a way that we won't have to worry about a lot of those in the future. But if we do, I do think that we have now developed some strategies to make sure that those types of activities are done safely. And outdoor experiences are also an avenue that have been used very successfully with music and the arts classrooms.
Kate Fitzpatrick Harnish is the author of Urban Music Education, A Practical Guide for Teachers. She's an associate professor of music ed at U of M. Kate, it's a pleasure talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you.